the same fears. I mean, it could be decades of dealing with the same kinds of worries and fears that you've had for all of your life. It may be shame that you've had. Maybe there's past sin in your life and you just continue to feel the shame over that. And then you get stuck. And it tends to happen time and time and time again. And you need help to get out. And so you need help to remember the truth, and you need help to know that you are loved. Well, I want you to know today that God loves you, and that's what the psalm that we're going to look at, Psalm 136, proclaims today. It proclaims God's steadfast love for you. I was thinking back recently that about my grandmother, and I have many wonderful memories about my grandmother. My grandmother on my dad's side, and my grandma, she ended up dying of Alzheimer's while she had Alzheimer's. And I remember walking into the room and her not recognizing me. She didn't remember the trips to the ice cream store. She didn't remember the jokes that we'd tell. She didn't remember those special Christmas or birthday memories, and that was hard. In fact, I remember that day when my grandpa and grandma were together and I came into the room and she had no idea who he was. She didn't recognize her husband who had faithfully loved her for over 50 years. She didn't remember. And it was so sad to watch my grandmother suffer with Alzheimer's and in this way. Now, if you've experienced someone close to you suffering with Alzheimer's, you know and understand how hard and horrific this is. It's really hard. The memory breaks down until it's gone. Spiritual amnesia isn't the same thing medically, but there is something similar that happens in our lives spiritually. We wake up on a Monday morning and we've forgotten the God who's been faithful to us every moment of our lives. We forget his goodness. We forget his power. We forget his promises. We forget his grace. And that's why Psalm 136 exists. It's God's prescription for forgetful people. The problem isn't that God actually stopped loving us. The problem is that we stopped remembering God's love for us. And so if you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to Psalm 136. You may find a Bible underneath your seats, or you can follow along on the screens. I'm going to read the whole thing to you, and then we'll talk through three different sections of the psalm. So Psalm 136. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 12, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. What did you guys notice first? His steadfast love endures forever, doesn't it? Can we say that together? For his steadfast love endures forever. Those are good words. Those are good words. It's repeated 26 times in this psalm. Why? I believe it's repeated 26 times in this psalm because we forget. Psalm 136 is a call and response between the worship leader and the congregation, the people of God. The worship leader reads the truth about God and what God has done, and the congregation, the people of God, respond, reciting, singing, saying, proclaiming, for his steadfast love endures forever. This phrase, for his steadfast love endures forever, is composed of three Hebrew words. A direct literal translation would be this: for forever is his covenant love. Or for eternity, his hesed. Hesed is a word that means God's faithful love. There's no adequate English translation that matches its richness, and that's why these words come out as steadfast love. There's other places in Scripture where hesed is translated as faithful love or covenant love. This was the kind of love with which Ruth loved Naomi as she gave up all that she had and her future, and she faithfully went in covenant love with Naomi. She said, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Hesed is the kind of love we're talking about when a man and a woman covenant together in marriage. Yet for humans, our version of hesed is this love. It's imperfect, it falters, it's flawed. But God's hesed, it never ends, it never fails, it always endures. It's always faithful, it's always true, it's always pure. Hesed is the kind of love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the kind of love that the psalmist is talking about when he writes it 26 times, for the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. This hesed, steadfast love of Psalm 136 is God's covenant love, which is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so as the psalmist wrote Psalm 136, we see this refrain 26 times. We see it this many times in each verse as a response because we need to know it. We need to remember it. And the honest truth is we can't get through this life without being reminded of God's covenant love for us. Now, if you go back and you glance at the first three verses here, you'll see the same three imperatives in these verses. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the God of gods, give thanks to the Lord of lords. And the final verse of this psalm actually concludes by saying, give thanks to the God of heaven. The psalmist knows that giving thanks to God is actually what we were designed to do as human beings. This is our calling, this is our purpose. And it's also the way that we combat the ungratefulness, the selfishness, and the spiritual amnesia each of us face regularly in our lives. For the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And so here's what I think the psalmist wants us to see in these 26 verses. Because God's steadfast love endures forever, give thanks to God. Most of us sitting here might agree. It's a good idea to give thanks to God, right? But how does this psalm help us give thanks to God? How does it point us toward the turning of our hearts to give thanks to God? The simple answer is by remembering his steadfast love. By remembering that his steadfast love endures forever. Well, let's look a little deeper at this. Let's take the first section, verses 1 through 9, and they show us that we give thanks by remembering God's steadfast love in creation. I want you to imagine for a second a man who's worn a wedding ring every day for the past 25 years. He rarely notices it anymore. He doesn't stop to admire it. He doesn't think about it every morning. Has the ring become less valuable to the man? No. Has his wife loved him any less? No. It's simply become familiar. The ring hasn't actually changed. The ring hasn't changed. The man's attention has. He doesn't look at the ring and admire it like he used to. And here's the thing. Creation is actually like that. I don't know if you noticed today, but we woke up to another sunrise. You just took another breath. Do we notice every time we eat another meal? Do we notice and hear the bird sing another song? Or see another cloud out in the sky? You see, the tragedy isn't that God stopped giving the gifts. The tragedy is that we've stopped recognizing the giver. That's where the tragedy is. And so Psalm 136 reminds us that God's steadfast love endures forever by pointing us to pay attention to the Creator and the creation. And so our good God, who is Lord of Lords, does great wonders, as verse 4 says. He made the heavens, says verse 5. He spread out the earth above the waters in verse 6. He made the great lights, the sun, the moon, the stars in verses 7 through 9. The God who made all good things has lovingly given you your life and every good gift. Everything that you enjoy exists because God, in his covenant love for you, he made it. Creation itself is an act of chesed. And this psalm actually begs us to not allow that which becomes familiar to erase our wonder. The sunrise still proclaims his steadfast love endures forever. Every breath says it. Every meal says it. Every ice cream cone says it. Every leaf on the trees in the autumn that changes color and then falls to the ground, it says it. But both John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 remind us that Jesus is our Creator God. Jesus, the Creator who stretched out the heavens, he didn't remain distant from his creation. He didn't remain way up there apart from it and looking down. He entered into it. You see, the one who made and formed the sun walked beneath it. The one who created and formed and designed bread became the bread of life. The one who made the oceans walked upon them. Creation isn't merely an act of love. It became the stage upon which the greatest act of love, of steadfast love, would actually unfold. the Creator entered his creation. Jesus, the Creator who is celebrated and lifted up in Psalm 136, showed us his steadfast love through his incarnation. And so give thanks to God by remembering his steadfast love in creation. That's what verses 1 through 9 are proclaiming. Now let's look at the next section, verses 10 through 22. They show us that we give thanks by remembering God's steadfast love in redemption. Now in this section of Psalm 136, the psalmist recounts the story of the Israelites who were brought out of Egyptian slavery. Now God, he opened the waters of the Red Sea so that they could pass through it. He overthrew Pharaoh and his army. He led his people into the wilderness where they could be defeated. They could defeat their enemies, and God provided an inheritance. This is what God did. This is what this psalm reminds us of in very short snippets. Now in verse 19, Shion, the king of the Amorites, is mentioned. In Numbers chapter 21, Shion refused to allow Israel to pass through his territory. Instead, he gathered all his people to fight against Israel, and Israel came out victorious. And then in verse 20, we see Og mentioned. Also in Numbers 21, Og and his people battled Israel, and Moses and the Israelites defeated him. Here's what happened. These two kings are significant, and they're mentioned here in Psalm 136 because they stood between Israel and the Promised Land. They were obstacles to God's people and what he had promised them. And then in verses 21 through 22, we're reminded of Israel's inheritance. Friends, this section of verses 10 through 22, don't only describe Israel's exodus from Egyptian slavery and entrance into the Promised Land. They point us to the entire redemption story. You see, Egypt points to slavery and sin. The Red Sea reflects our rescue from sin. The wilderness symbolizes the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's guidance as we journey along this path in a broken, sin-stained world. The Promised Land is our inheritance. And Jesus, he came into the world, went to the cross, rose to life, ascended into heaven for us. The Creator came and did for us that which we could not do for ourselves. I wonder, consider a child growing up in an abusive home. One day a family arrives, not because the child earned it, not because the child was smart or strong, but because the family chose to love the child. The adoption papers are signed. Child leaves the orphanage, but that's not the end. The family gives the child a bedroom. In a bed to sleep in at night. The family gives the child a new name by which to be known. The family gives the child a seat at the dinner table. And one day they tell the child, everything we have will someday be yours. That's redemption. That's redemption. Israel wasn't simply rescued from Egypt. They were rescued to belong to God. And the Promised Land wasn't merely real estate, it was an inheritance. You see, the gospel doesn't merely forgive sinners. Christ brings us into God's family. And so you have brothers and sisters in Christ now. Christ gives you a new name. He calls you Christian. Christ seats you at his table. He raises you from the power of sin and death. Christ promises us an eternal inheritance. And so if you're in Christ, he actually gives you a new identity, a new purpose, a new worldview. He gives you a future and an inheritance. They're unmatched. The God who rescued Israel has accomplished the greater redemption through Christ, and he will finish it. It will be completed, that which he began. And so we give thanks by remembering God's steadfast love and redemption, the redemption that's been purchased for us by Jesus. Look at verses 23 through 26. They show us that we give thanks by remembering God's steadfast love in his present care. Verse 23 says, "It is he who remembered us in our low estate." If you think about it, this may be the sweetest verse in all of Psalm 136. He remembered us in our low estate. God is not way up there somewhere. He's not in orbit around the earth. He didn't just look down on us. He came. He came. Jesus entered the lowest state of our lives with us and for us and in us. Philippians 2 tells us this: Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus came to be present with you. Jesus came to care for you. Look at verses 24 through 26. Jesus came to rescue us from our foes, to give food to all flesh. So let's give thanks to the God of heaven. That's what's being proclaimed. Jesus came to rescue you from sin and death and the power of Satan over your life. He has no power over you anymore if you're in Christ Jesus. He tries, but he has no power over us. Jesus has set us free. And so what is it that stands between you and the promised land? Maybe there is sin in your life that you haven't yet surrendered over to God, that God is calling you to surrender to him. Maybe you're a Christ follower, already united to Christ, but you struggle with mind games. And that spiritual enemy attacks you with anxiety and fear and untrue thoughts, and you just can't escape them. Guys, I've had those before. That's horrible. But it's the enemy's attack on our lives, on our minds. Maybe you have a health issue, and our spiritual foe is casting doubts about God into your life. And so now you're living with these doubts about who God is. And how could God, who's loving and kind, how could he not heal you when he has the power to heal you, but you're going through all this suffering? That's the enemy's attack. The enemy's attack is when you're in a place of shame for your sin and you just stay there because you think you're a worthless person now. How could God love me? When you've already asked for forgiveness and you've confessed your sin and you've surrendered your heart to God, we get stuck in the routine, the addiction, the shame, or a situation that you could maybe never imagine enduring. There's all sorts of places we get stuck in our human flesh. Yet just as God's steadfast love led the Israelites past Shion and Og and other great kings, his present care will endure with you and through the hardships that you face in your life. Because his steadfast love endures forever. The God who remembers the lowly meets his people in their weakness. And he provides, and he will bring them home safely. That's the promise of Scripture. And so, yes, God remembered Israel, but these verses also show us that God remembers us. That's why Psalm 136 is in our Bible. The one and only true God, Jesus Christ, is remembering. He's still rescuing. He's still providing. Psalm 136 is not merely history. There's a lot of history there. But it's testimony. It's testimony of who God is. It's testimony of what God has done and will continue to do as he continues to reign in our lives and over this world. And so even now, God continues to stoop down to care for ordinary people in our ordinary lives. Jesus is interceding for us even now. God's steadfast love is present and active today. And so give thanks to God by remembering God's steadfast love and his present care. This psalm is actually a song for the church, Jesus' people to sing. So I want you just for a minute to imagine sitting around a supper table and Jesus is there. And you get comfortable. Jesus is the worship leader. And we, God's people, are the congregation. We're all around this table together. And Jesus, he sings, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And we respond, "For his steadfast love endures forever." And then because Jesus is a personal and intimate God who's in relationship with us, he does something you weren't expecting. He does something unique. He goes through the psalm and he calls you by name, each one of you. And he says, "Mary, I was near when you lost your husband." And you respond, "For your steadfast love endures forever." And then he goes to Paul and he says, "Paul, I strengthened you when you had your cancer. For your steadfast love endures forever." Jesus turns to Samantha and he says, "I was carrying you when you lost your parents. For your steadfast love endures forever." Kara, "I was your peace when anxiety seemed to overtake your soul. For your steadfast love endures forever." Jesus says, "Tom, I gave you wisdom, mercy, and patience when your daughter walked away from me." And you respond, "For your steadfast love endures forever." Mike, "I rescued you when you had your stroke. For your steadfast love endures forever." Sarah, "I comforted you and cared for you with my grace when you didn't know if your husband was going to be okay." She says, "For your steadfast love endures forever." Imagine Jesus calls each of you by name. And your response is, "For your steadfast love endures forever." So what is it that you're facing in life today? We've all got it. We've all got something. Psalm 136 is here to remind you today that God loves you. Because we're people with spiritual amnesia and we forget. God has said you. His covenant, faithful, steadfast love endures for all eternity. We just have a blip in time for our lives, don't we? Generations ago, the people of Israel celebrated Passover every year because God knew that they would forget if they didn't. So he had them celebrate Passover. And every year, parents of young kids, the kids would come with questions, and the kids would ask their parents, hey, why do we eat this meal? Why are we doing this? Can you imagine that? Kids having questions like, why? That happened then too. Well, the answer was, because the Lord brought us out. Church, you know what that's what the Lord does. The Lord brings us out. That's what the Exodus proclaims. That's what Psalm 136 is telling us. The Lord has brought you out. And so remember, the Passover was a reenactment of redemption. And then, years later, Jesus comes into the world, and he sits down with his disciples, and he transforms this meal. And he looks at his disciples, and he says, this bread, after he broke it, he says, this is my body for you. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup and he held it up to his disciples and he said, here, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Don't forget, my steadfast love endures forever. And so the Lord's Supper has become the church's answer to spiritual amnesia. And just as Israel remembered the Exodus and with the Passover, we, the gathered church, and this is why we do this, the Lord's Supper, as we're gathered, the gathered church remember the greater Exodus through the Lord's Supper. Every time that we gather at the Lord's table, we proclaim Christ delivered us from far greater bondage than Egypt. Our poverty. Or another threat from another country in our lives, our world. He's delivered us from sin and death and the power of Satan forever. And he's bringing us a far greater inheritance than Canaan. In a sense, the Lord's Supper is like saying the psalmist's refrain over and over again, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so, friends, I am absolutely delighted to tell you today that we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Those who will be serving, you're welcome to come forward and sit in the first row there. The Lord's Supper, it's a symbolic celebration of the ongoing covenant renewal we experience as we live with faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you're a Christ follower, you can partake in the Lord's Supper with us here at FBC. The bread, it symbolizes Jesus' body being given over, taking on sin for us. His blood is symbolized through the cup, the juice that we drink, to remind us that his blood was shed, blameless blood. He didn't deserve it or earn it. But he did it in place for us, to pardon us, to rescue us, to pay the cost. The Lord's Supper is for all who place their faith in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, the one that we surrender our lives to when we follow him. And so as we enjoy the Lord's Supper today, remember Jesus is the worship leader whom you follow. And we, together, are the congregation, the gathering of the church, the bride of Christ. And what we experience today is only a foretaste of that marriage supper of the Lamb that is to come. And friends, mark the words of Scripture, it will come. Christ has called us. So let's take a few moments of silence to remember God's steadfast love endures forever.